Well, hello everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. As always, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to study your word, and I pray that you would guide us as we study, and may we apply it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is not in the series that we've been looking at, but since this is Holy Week, as it is called by many, I'd like to look at the old rugged cross and how it made a difference. You know, this is a very special time of year for those of us who know the Lord Jesus. It's a time for us to think about the things that really matter in our lives. Things that make life worth living. And the things that have shaped us into who we are. For me, it's a time to remember the cross. Because 2,000 years ago, God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross that I might be saved. It was Calvary that made the difference in my life. And folks, if you're saved, Calvary made the difference in your life. So I want to take us back to that day when heaven died for earth. Let's look at how and why the old rugged cross made the difference. Folks, it was a unique week. It began on Palm Sunday. We looked at that last Sunday and how Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem to Hosanna with the palm leaves on the ground, everyone praising him, saying, "Save us now, save us now." On Monday, Jesus cleansed the temple. He saw that it was being a house of merchandise. And he said, "This, my Father's house is a house of prayer." On Tuesday, he went in and taught in the temple. Then on Wednesday, we have the account where Judas betrays the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And on Thursday, they gather in the upper room to have their last supper together. Of course, Friday is when Jesus was crucified. That horrible, horrible day. And on Saturday, in the tomb, resting. However, Jesus did a lot more, and we're going to talk about that on Sunday a little bit more, but he set the captives free. On Sunday, of course, Resurrection Sunday, hallelujah. You know, I'm not preaching here, but hallelujah. He rose from the grave. So I want to look at what happened on the old rugged cross. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, after Jesus had been nailed to the cross and been lifted up between two thieves, it says, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Here, as a human being, Jesus is feeling the abandonment of God because of the sin of this world. And because of that, God had to turn his face from the Lord Jesus. The only time in all of eternity that God the Father and God the Son were separated. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, as Jesus looks down and the crowd mocks him, he says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Those who crucified Jesus were really not aware of what was going on that day because they didn't recognize that he was the Messiah. And the fact that Jesus would pray in the midst of their mocking him is really an expression of the kind of compassion and grace and love, not only of Jesus, but of our Heavenly Father. When the thief on the cross turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Those who crucified Jesus could not understand what was going on. And Jesus is assuring one of those criminals on the cross that when he died, he would be with the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. It was granted because even at the hour of death, that criminal expressed his faith in Jesus Christ, recognizing who he was, and asked him for forgiveness. And guess what? Jesus forgave him. In John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, in the midst of his pain and his agony, Jesus looks down and he says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." When Jesus saw his mother standing near the cross and the apostle John, whom he loved, standing beside her, he committed his mother's care into John's hands. And from that day forward, John took her into his home as his own mother. We see the ever-compassionate son taking care of his earthly mother, even as he is preparing to die. A little later on in John chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "I thirst." Here he's fulfilling the messianic prophecy of Psalm 69:21 that says, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." So by saying he was thirsty, he prompted the Roman guards to give him vinegar, which was customary for the crucifixion, to dull the senses, and that fulfilled the prophecy. Then when all had been accomplished, in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus willingly gives his soul into his Father's hands, letting him know he was preparing to die and that God had accepted his sacrifice. And then in John 19:30, the final words, "It is finished. It is finished." His suffering was over. All of the work that the Father had given him to do, to preach the gospel, to work miracles, and to obtain eternal salvation for his people, was done. It was accomplished. It was fulfilled. Folks, the debt was paid. God, and you know what? God asks no more of us than for us to place our faith in the work that Jesus finished on the cross. If we can accept that truth, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and that he shed his blood to wash away our sins, that's what Paul says in Romans. That's what gives us salvation. "For those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And because it is finished, we can enjoy salvation without having to fear that our works aren't good enough. We can enjoy fellowship with the Lord knowing that he has accepted us because we have accepted his Son. And all that remains is to be asked. So I guess the question is, are you trusting the Lord Jesus plus nothing to save you today? Folks, you need to be sure about that one thing. If there's nothing else in this world to be sure of, it's to be sure about your salvation. And if there's any doubt, I'd like to invite you to come to know the Lord and get it settled today. Are you saved? If you're not, you can be. If you will come to the Lord and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Is it finished for you? Do you know for sure that it's finished? If you need the Lord, folks, now's the time to come. Now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Let him come into your heart and into your life. Will you do that right now? Would you pray something like this? "Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin and I want you to come into my life and make me Lord and Savior. And make you Lord and Savior of my life." If you do that, by the authority of the Word of God, he said you would be saved. Amen? I hope you did. Now next week we're going to be at church for our Bible study, and we're going to be looking at the resurrection. But you know, between now and then, there's a couple of things going on. Good Friday's coming, and our service will begin at 6:30 p.m. in church. We're going to be looking at the sight and sound production of Jesus. And then we're having sunrise service at 6:30 on Resurrection morning. I will give you a word of encouragement. Dress warmly, because we're going to be outside for the sunrise service. Then our worship service will be at 10 a.m. We are looking forward to such a great time of praising the Lord that He forgave us of our sins, and we know that because He was crucified, He died, He was buried, and He rose again, so He can give us eternal life. Looking forward to seeing you there. Folks, God is good all the time. Amen. See you then.